And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show definitely goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I'm just over here doing stuff, Boomer. And
Boomer looks at me like, I told you, that's your cue. That's your music. That's your bump.
What do I do, man? I got so many things happening around me.
Too many things.
Can't keep track of all the things. Doing all the things. All right, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this segment, We Know That They Know. I'm sick of hearing this. Here's a great Scrabble word for you, obfuscation. Obfuscation. It basically means you're clouding the moment in the hopes that you can actually obscure the truth. That's the rough analysis or rough definition of the word. Obfuscation. Stop obfuscating with me. Okay. You're being disingenuous. Well, yes, I was. It lacks credibility. I have definite incredulity at the very idea that you would offer me that alternate reality. I'm just making crap up right now. But anyway, that's what's happening. All these multiple syllable words. We know that they know some of this stuff. Here's one of them that just... This is the story that got me kicked into this dipper, right? Have you seen the fact that there has now been a calendar published of the people that convicted pedophile, you know, human trafficker Jeffrey Epstein had been meeting with? We not only have begun to see the list of who was flying on his jet to his private island, which, you know, even the locals knew that island had some weird stuff going on it. But what we're also seeing now is that he was having meetings on a regular basis with people that you look at and go, wow, dang. Don't tell me they didn't know what they were doing. Don't tell me, by the way, that they don't know what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, so the cameras went down. The guards went on a break. The, you know, roommate who was, you know, pretty definitely a problem, wasn't really, you know, a cellmate, I mean, wasn't really the problem. He committed suicide just at the right time by hanging himself on his bunk. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's not the way it went down. And I believe they know that. I believe they know who met with him. I believe they know more than they want anybody to know, because there are people, I don't care what party they're in, there are people on both parties and in some royal families who were in the midst of some shady stuff. Well, Epstein's private calendar has now been revealed. Story came out today on Fox News, among others. Jeffrey Epstein's newly revealed private calendar showed scheduled meetings with the current CIA director. So, yeah. The guy who is now the head of the CIA, William Burns, has met with Jeffrey Epstein on multiple occasions since he was convicted of being a pedophile. Jeffrey Epstein's newly revealed private calendar showed scheduled meetings with the current CIA director, a college president, and an attorney who served in the Obama administration, according to a recently published report on Sunday. New documents belonging to the rich convicted pedophile were obtained by the Wall Street Journal, and they show planned meetings with a slew of prominent individuals, including now CIA director William Burns, Bard College President Leon Botstein, Obama White House counsel Katherine Rumler, and Professor Noam Chomsky. All the scheduled meetings were slated to take place after Epstein had been jailed. And so I go here and I look like Rumler. She worked for the Obama administration. She was a senior counsel, and she is now one of the senior lawyers at Goldman Sachs. Yeah. Took that position in 2020. According to the Wall Street Journal, the documents show that Epstein was even planning on Rumler joining him for a trip to Paris in 2015 and another visit to his private island in the Caribbean in 2017. Yeah, I'm just saying something ain't right there with that. But then you look at the story on the same topic from National Review. National Review took their piece and got it out last night. A review of the private calendar of Jeffrey Epstein has revealed the convicted sex offender and financier had meetings not previously reported on with several prominent Americans, including the CIA director. It goes on to say he was convicted of sexually abusing girls as young as 14 in Florida just 2 years before, but the calendar shows multiple meetings with William Burns, who is now the head of the CIA. That's messed up. And I tell you what, someone needs to ask why. Now, what we're being told, here's what we're being told. Oh, Burns was meeting with him because, you know, we were trying to get campaign donations and that kind of thing. This has nothing to do with anything illicit. Okay, you have a convicted pedophile who is persona non grata with many of the elite in the world, but yet, strangely, still in with others. Why would a guy who apparently is capable of rising to the level of being the head of the Central Intelligence Agency think it was a good idea to be hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein? Why would a person who was so sharp and such a legal mind that she could go from being a senior legal advisor to the president of the United States to now being one of the senior general counsels at Goldman Sachs, of all places, think it was a great idea to consider traveling to his island and taking trips with him to Europe and meeting with him on multiple occasions? Who else was he grooming to put in places that they don't want to talk about? I believe they know. Don't you? I believe they know. There's no doubt my military mind, as my drill sergeant used to say, there's no doubt my military mind, today's a good day to be in the Army. Well, the same is true of this is a good day to bring out the truth. But this obfuscation is unbelievable. The very idea that we're just going to say he committed suicide in his cell and hope nobody asked any questions. Well, by God, you know, like Charlie Daniels used to always say, Benghazi ain't going away. Someone needs to go ahead and say, Epstein ain't going away. We have got to start seeing these documents. And people like William Burns, who's the head of the CIA, someone needs to ask him in a public hearing, what were you doing with Jeffrey Epstein? And if you're smart enough to carry the top-level security clearances available to the entire Western world, then tell us why you thought it was a good idea to hang out with a convicted pedophile. Just saying. Or were you saying you didn't know? Well, then that tells me you don't pay attention, and why do you have the job you have now? It just boggles the mind. Here's the other one. Don't you think they knew that Hunter Biden's laptop from hell was real? Don't you think they knew that? Well, of course they knew that. But yet, boy, they put on the biggest obfuscation in the world. DeRoy Murdoch, and Charlene and I met DeRoy Murdoch at a conference in D.C. one time. Nice guy. DeRoy Murdoch has a piece that came out on Daily Caller yesterday. DeRoy Murdoch says Democrats have a big lie of their own. They like to say that you know, Trump talking about the election was a big lie. Ooh, okay. Well, former CIA acting director Michael Morell recently gave testimony to the House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees. He explained how he, Biden's presidential campaign, and top U.S. spies bamboozled the American people just 3 weeks before Election Day, even as voters cast their early ballots. We already had early voting going on. If you remember, the New York Post broke the story in 2020, right before the election, about Hunter Biden's laptop. It was not something that was seized. It was not stolen from his car. It was not something that someone hacked into his system. It was not something that somebody planted information on. The dude walked in, and we have the documentation to prove he dropped it off for repairs and never came back and got it. And the guy who had it didn't know what to do with it, so he had to go into it because that was part of the repairs, and he began seeing things like Hunter Biden smoking crack with hookers and, you know, talking about getting money out of foreign governments and like, oh, my gosh, what have I got here? So he turns the thing over to the FBI, who do nothing with it. And then eventually he goes to the press, goes to the New York Post. They run the story. The story comes down. October 14th of 2020, a New York Post exclusive exposed Hunter Biden's so-called laptop from hell. October 17th, Antony Blinken, who is now the Secretary of State. So right now, Biden's CIA director met with a convicted pedophile multiple times and is now the head of the CIA. We've got Antony Blinken, who's now the Secretary of State, was working for the Biden campaign, called up Mike Morell, who had been at one point the acting CIA director, told him, we need something out there about this whole situation with the Hunter Biden laptop. To which Morell agreed to go ahead and put together the infamous letter and corral up a bunch of other intel officials and get them to sign off on it, as if they knew something, but they didn't know anything. Because a story just came out 2 days ago. Some of y'all have seen Dan Hoffman. He's a Fox News contributor. I got a story here from Daily Caller. Dan Hoffman was offered the chance to sign on to that letter. Did they know? Darn right they knew. You got the Biden campaign asking for the letter. You got the former director of the CIA under Obama agreeing to put the letter together because he got a call from Blinken, who's now Secretary of State. Did they know? Not only did they know, they solicited this. But a former CIA chief of station said Friday he did not join in with others in the former intel community by signing that letter because, in his words, there was no evidence that it was Russian disinformation. No evidence was presented. So this is Dan Hoffman's words. He says, I got the letter on October 18th of 2020, and at first glance, it seemed natural to lay the blame at the Kremlin's doorstep. So he said, like it's not uncommon. He says, remember, Vladimir Putin's in the Kremlin. He's well known for cloak-and-dagger espionage operations. At the same time, he said, though, the letter was presented with no evidence, and the letter even noted there was no evidence. He said, I felt like we just needed to do forensics. And he said, there were many others who also didn't sign it. I don't know who they are. He said, look, when I was at CIA, we would sit in Mike Morrell's office, the guy who orchestrated the letter. And when we had a particularly difficult, challenging intel issue, we would hash it out, hash out all the evidence. We would run back and forth. We would draw analytical conclusions with some level of confidence, low, medium, or high, bring it to the White House. We didn't have that kind of debate about the laptop issue. We were not invited to debate it. They just wanted the signature. Because what happened? About 2 weeks later, President Biden goes to the infamous debate with President Trump, and he waves that letter around as if it means something. It was his get-out-of-jail-free card. Did they know about that? Darn right they knew, and we know that they know. All right, I got one more question for you about what maybe they know when we get back from this break, but I'm telling you, folks, they are doing all they can to obfuscate. There's my big word for the day. But it galls me as if they think the American public is just stupid. Sooner or later, that one piece of paper, it's going to come out. That picture in a drawer, it's going to come out. That hard drive, it's going to come out. Dadgummit, we're going to prove that we know that they know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, folks, top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because Dale Jackson will be calling in. We're going to have a conversation about the fact that all across the state of Alabama, we are seeing police departments having great difficulty in recruiting and retaining quality officers. Well, let me just put it that way, officers in general. I didn't mean to say there's any of them that lack quality. We're looking for people to be police officers, put it that way. Law enforcement is having a difficult time nationwide. And by the way, we're not a defund the police state. So we're going to talk about that. What kind of tone has been set that's having a nationwide impact, even if you're not part of the defund movement? Are you experiencing it? It would seem that we are. So there's that. I will also tell you before I finish up my dipper here that you hear advertisements all the time on the show. Like we go to break and then there's some of our ad sponsors. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to advertise, if you listen to this show and you believe in freedom and you believe in the things we espouse with regards to civil liberties and fiscal responsibility and strong families and traditional values, if those are the things you stand for, and this show certainly does, and you want to advertise your business with us, we would love to have you. Right Side is a separate business. The station you hear us on does not own us. We are a separate standalone entity syndicated and sending our signal to them. So as a result, one of the ways that we support what we do here is we sell advertising. And so if you would like to advertise your business on Right Side Radio, go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. You click on the advertising place, and then you just send us a message, and we will be in touch with you immediately. So, yeah, we'd love to have you on the team, become one of the right side ruffian team members, and we'll talk to you and get it all lined up. Text lines are full. I need to go through that in a minute. I will tell you this. Here's my last one about we know that they know. So I don't know if he caught this or not, but, you know, last Tuesday, I believe it was, President Biden did the lamest ever rollout for a presidential campaign, perhaps in the history of rollouts. I don't think we can even qualify it as a rollout. He basically, in the words of Alicia, who works here with Boomer and I at the Right Said office, he basically phoned it in. It's like he put a sticky note on the wall running for president.
And the I like that. Sticky note on the wall. Hey, guys, take a look at the sticky note I just posted.
Yeah, just pay attention to that. And get... I had a guy one time, by the way, I say that because I had a guy one time who worked for me militarily, who didn't work for me long, who got kind of bent because he didn't think his comments and his input was being received. And I said, what input? Well, I left you a note. And I said, what? He left me a sticky note, and that was his version of providing input that he didn't believe had been received. That's about the way President Biden handled the announcement that he's running for re-election. A lot of the world didn't even know he had done it. The press had to pick up on it and go, apparently we've got a video for the president. It was that lame. Well, the day before that, though, and this struck me as odd. As soon as I saw it, I thought, what's up with this? Susan Rice, who I believe has been one of those in the background making a lot of things happen. Susan Rice, who, of course, worked with the Obama administration. She's been his head of domestic policy. Basically, all the crap we're seeing being slung around the United States by the Biden administration, Susan Rice has been in charge of a lot of that, orchestrating that policy, putting it together. But she announced her departure from the Biden administration the day before he announced he's running for re-election. We know they know. We know they know why she did that. We know they know. And now I'm into speculation because I can see it going one of two ways. Either A, Susan Rice is like a rat jumping ship. She did not want to be a part of this, you know, circus, this goat rodeo. She did not want to be in the midst of what was about to be a very uncomfortable campaign for a man who obviously is losing his faculties and will not do a debate and announces his election or his campaign on a video. It's like posting it on Facebook. I mean, it's that lame. Either that or B, they just wanted her out of there, or C, here's the other piece. There's been talk that there's a alternative to the Biden-Harris administration being generated, that Democrats want somebody else to run. There's even been banter that it might be Michelle Obama. Just saying. I'm just telling. Boomer gave me the look. I'm just telling you the banter, brother. Just get a little brotherly banter here. Where would Susan Rice's loyalties be? I would suspect with Michelle Obama.
You? Yes. That's exactly what I would expect.
If we start seeing... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and they need somebody that has clout that's going to rise up, you know, try to rise up everyone else, and it's not Biden, no. And that's where she, you know, she may see herself going.
I think that, yeah, I agree. Get out while the getting's good. Let him hang himself. Don't want to be a part of that. You know, turd biscuit. And then go work with the team you really want to be a part of to try and replace him and keep Trump from coming back in. I think they know. I think they know exactly what's going on. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned. Dale Jackson coming in. We're going to talk about the efforts of police forces around the state to recruit and retain, and it ain't easy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.